And so I was at camp, and this message started to be birthed in my spirit about the road less traveled as I was walking around. So let's pray first before I begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your inspiration and how you speak through so many different avenues, not only through your word, but through your creation, God, that we would have no excuse as we are just confronted with the beauty and the grandeur of who you are through what you've created. And God, I just give you thanks, Lord, for this word. I pray, God, that you anoint it, that you hide me, though, behind the cross, and that the truth would be conveyed by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was at camp, I was walking through these roads, and I was remembering when I was little. I grew up on a farm. It was over 100 acres, and we lived in the middle of nowhere. And I didn't have neighbors. We didn't have a lot of people around. And so I spent a good amount of time by myself. And so living or hanging out by myself, I would oftentimes just go out and get lost. I would walk across the field and sit on a stone wall and just be by myself and just exist. And oftentimes I would go into the woods. There was a set of woods across the street from where I grew up, and there were these roads that went through the woods. And this is what I was recalling before the message came. And I was walking through the woods, and I went on a path that I had never gone on before. And this particular incident that I remembered, I walked down this particular road that I had never seen before. And in the middle, deep, deep, deep in the woods, I found blueberries. Beautiful, wonderful blueberries. And so oftentimes we're reminded that if sometimes we get off the beaten path, we are going to be blessed with things that we did not expect. Amen? So I was reminded as I was walking through the woods this past Thursday of a famous poem. Now we all know that in Scripture is all truth, right? Or the Scriptures are truth. But it's true that not all truth is in Scripture. There's truth to be found in a lot of other things that God has created through people and through his own creation. And the arts is one of those. And this poem is by Robert Frost, and maybe you know it. It's called The Road Not Taken. And it goes like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. It was that phrase that really struck me, and that has made all the difference. Recently, I had a conversation with my husband about stuff that was going on in my own family. And I know I've alluded to some of the interesting things that have gone on in my past in my own family structure. So with the three kids in my family growing up, it was not healthy. There was a lot of dysfunction. We were kids of a divorced family. And that doesn't always necessarily lead to dysfunction, but in this case, it really did. And so as we grew up, there was a lot of angst, a lot of anger, a lot of negative behavior. And so looking back, I understood that my brother was the most caught up in that, and he died at the age of 33. And my sister has been married three times and has struggled in some of the choices that she's made. And it was in trying to understand that difference, I looked at our lives. Tom and I had just celebrated our 22nd anniversary, both products of divorced parents. Healthy, happy, things are going well. And I look back and I said, what makes a difference? I'm a child of the same family, same parents, same situation. What happened in my life that has brought me to this place that doesn't look anything like my two siblings? And the only thing that I could say and look back with any assurance of was the day that I decided to follow after Jesus. That day has made all the difference. Because before that day, I was on a road to destruction. Jesus says the same thing. So our scriptural text today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And Jesus tells them this: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So when Jesus is sharing this passage, the context is this very famous Sermon on the Mount. And basically, he's standing there. He has a captive audience waiting, thirsty, as we talked about this morning. Rick was singing, we're thirsty, we're hungry for things of God. And they were there waiting to hear what Jesus had to say. And he just comes at them, rapid fire, boom, 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 all these things, and trying to tell them about life and how to live and about the kingdom of God. It says at the end of this passage that they were amazed, they were awestruck, and that he taught with one with authority and not like the teachers of the law. It was like nothing they had ever heard. So with today's scripture, when he says about the narrow gate and the different roads, we understand that the road we choose might be a lonely one. Christ taught that we are not to expect a majority of people to follow him on the road that leads to eternal life with God. And oftentimes I think we forget that. You know, sometimes we look around at the world and the culture as a whole and we say, how come everybody doesn't look like us? And we get frustrated and angry about the way that things are going. But ultimately, God has already told us that wide is the path to destruction, narrow is the way to life. And so we get frustrated even though we should have the eyes to see that not everybody's going to follow. We can't get frustrated. This passage tells us that comparatively few will pass through the gate of godly humility, true repentance, that very few will turn from and deny their own way in order to follow Jesus. And what does it mean, really, to follow Jesus? Well, it means to endeavor to obey his commands. That's the first part, to endeavor. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. Endeavor does mean that we're perfect, but it means that we are striving, we are endeavoring to follow what he's called us to do, that we pursue his purposes and standards in our life, not our own. When we follow after Jesus, we understand that everything of ourselves takes a back seat and that he is exalted. We follow after him and his purposes, and then that we press on through the difficulties of life, with faith, purity, and love. We don't give up, even when the road gets difficult, even when it's going uphill, that we press forward. Sometimes we can look at it as saying, okay, I have hamburger A, and I have hamburger B. Sometimes the hamburgers look identical, and we have to make a choice. Just like the roads in the poem, they looked very similar, especially that morning, both covered in leaves, and nobody had passed yet. But even though the roads begin the same, they eventually lead to a different place. So going back to my own story, when I made that deciding choice in my life to follow after Jesus, right? February 29th, 1992, my roads begin to look differently. And ultimately, I was sharing this with Sarah the other morning. I'm going to remember it. My roads did not look very different for a while. Do you ever watch a GPS? And so if you take the wrong road, it doesn't always know that you're taking the wrong road because they're so close side by side. Well, sometimes when we make that choice to follow after Jesus, it doesn't always look like we've taken a direct turn the other way. And I know for Tom and I, we made the choice to follow after Jesus, and our roads looked very similar to the one that we were on for a while. We didn't have anybody speaking life into us. We didn't have anybody giving us good counsel. We weren't doing the right things, even though we wanted to do the right things. So our road looked very similar. And over time, it began to move apart. And so we continue to feed ourselves with God's word. We continue to seek out mentors in our life. We continue to follow after God's call. And before you know it, one road was going this way, and we were so far away from where we were going in the beginning that now we can look back and we say, oh, these are all the signposts along the way. This is what God has done. This is how God brought us to a different place. But it was only because we made a choice way back here when they were so close. Why do you think people choose to follow the way of destruction? If Jesus is telling us that wide is the path of destruction and narrow is the way to life, well, obviously people will choose to take the path of destruction. Well, I think there's a few reasons. One is the fear of being ridiculed. And I think it's a very real fear. It's not based in nothing. We had a conversation around the bonfire on Friday night with some of these young ladies, and we asked about what it was like to be a light in the darkness, try to be a light in their school. And they spoke of a very real situation where there's bullying, there is condemnation for those that try to live right. They are in a situation where they're constantly up against the darkness. It's a real fear. And it would be difficult to continue on that path if you're constantly inundated with the bullying and the razzing from your peers. How about the pleasures of sin? We might choose the path of destruction because we think sin is more fun. I heard it said once, if you're not having fun in your sin, you're not doing it right. Right? There's momentary pleasures in sin, and that is the thing that pulls people away. How about natural inclinations, right? We are a fallen creation, and I draw the analogy of if we were in a river. The natural inclination of the river is to flow from the mountains down into the oceans, and as we follow our natural inclinations without striving to do anything else, we will just ride it out. Like we're just sitting in a boat and going down along with the stream. And before you know it, you are so far away from where God wanted you to be because you're just riding it out without any effort, without any striving to go the right direction. And the last one is the destructive nature of sin, which is basically deceit. We are deceived. Sin is a deceiver. So, if people are choosing to follow the way of destruction, we need to find out what the benefits are of choosing the narrow path. Well, two chapters before our scripture this morning, as Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount, he describes the great benefits and blessings that go along with being his disciple. But he also insists that his followers will face opposition and persecution. So, with the blessings is going to be coming the difficulty. So I want to read a bit from chapter 5. Right in the beginning of verse 1 in chapter 5, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said this, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way that persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" I'm going to say, contrary to what evangelists might want to say, and some of them come around and say, oh, you know, getting saved is one of the easiest things in the world. Just come forward and profess Christ, and everything in your life will be perfect, hunky-dory. Well, Jesus taught that following him involves heavy obligations concerning right living, endurance through persecution, love for your enemies, and self-denial. Those don't sound easy, do they? The initial step of surrendering to Christ and accepting his forgiveness for sin may not be difficult, but trusting him to make the necessary life changes and continuing to follow him no matter what is not an easy prospect. And we'll test our faith to the extreme. So every time we make that choice on the road, we always have a choice to come back to the former road. It might take us longer to get there, the farther that we get away, and always going to be tempted to come back to that former road. The farther, though, we get away, the easier it is to stay on the right path. So the narrow way, the gate, is Christ. He tells us in John chapter 14, 6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. You know, that would be completely adverse or contrary to what we're going to hear in culture nowadays. There's a certain kind of strand of things that are going around that's telling that everything's universal, that all roads lead to God, all roads lead to heaven. Or humanism, that everything that we could possibly need is within us already. And we become the gods. We become the ones that are exalted and not God. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what does it look like, this way to life? Well, Jesus tells us this morning that it's narrow. In the same story in the Gospel of Luke, it says that not everybody's going to be able to enter. That's not easy for us to hear. We want to think that everybody's going to be there. This is why it's imperative that we share the gospel. It's not, we talked about this a few weeks ago, it's not that we want people to be saved. It's because they have to be. There are those that will not make it through the narrow door. In Luke, it says that version. All I can think of is if you were in a crowded place and there's one door out, if you are already going in the way and you're making your way through the door, you are safe. But think about all the people that are waiting, that think that they have time, and then somebody else fire. What happens at the door? Are we ready? Are you there at the door? So when Jesus calls, you're making it through. Are we in the back in the pack thinking that we have our whole lives to make a choice for Christ? Jesus also tells us that this way is not crowded. The way to life is for those that are willing to stand alone. And we have wonderful examples in the Bible of those people that stood alone. Think about Daniel praying. Even though he knew that he could die, praying in his room, standing against everything that culture was telling him he should do, and he stood for the Lord. What about Elijah? All the prophets of Baal, and he's one that stood for the Lord. And God showed himself powerful at the altars. The narrow way is the way of wisdom. It's another scripture, Proverbs chapter 4. This is verses 10 through 15 from the Message. Dear friend, take my advice. It will add years to your life. I'm writing out clear directions to wisdom way. I'm drawing a map to righteous road. I don't want you ending up in blind alleys or wasting time making wrong turns. Hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Don't take wicked bypass. Don't so much as set foot on that road. Stay clear of it. Give it wide berth. Make a detour and be on your way. I realize that when we make a choice to follow Christ, one of the things that brings us along the road, that sanctification, Christianese, becoming more like Christ, is in the renewing of our minds. If I had grown up with the same siblings, with the same kind of negative stuff that came at us, I could still be that person believing those lies, or I can be a renewed mind. And there's something real that happens in our brains as we continue to meditate on the word of Christ and to pray that changes the very fabric of who we are in our minds, so that the lies of the enemy and all that stuff can't come up against us, because we know the word of God. We know what truth is. So we know that we can renew our minds, and it's in the renewing of our minds that makes all the difference in the road that we travel. When I look back and I say, I could have made those same decisions, I'm not sure, I should be dead, but I'm not, because God saved my life. He spared my life. But I'll tell you, God's saving power is real. Is real. I'm a testimony to what happens with one life that made the right decision to follow after Christ. And I know I'm not alone in this room. The narrow way follows in Jesus' steps. This is John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, and from the Message. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. Part of being on the narrow way is to follow after the great shepherd. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and thief. Amen? So much greater. We follow after the greatest one. No one could ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind. So if we know all this, right, how do we make the steps? How do we make the decision to follow after Christ, to take the narrow road and not be swayed into being with the crowd and taking the wide way? Because it does lead to destruction. Nobody wants to hear that. It's fun. It's games. With all that's set before us, how do we find our way? Well, the first thing is to ask God to show you the way. Psalm 27, verse 11 says this, "Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me." We have one enemy in particular that's waiting for us to just step foot off the path. Teach me, O Lord, how to live. And how does God teach us? Well, we come on Sunday morning and share God's word. And I'm not the only one. Other people will share God's word. Through worship, there's truth. What I love about Ricky is that he chooses songs that glorify God, that speak truth and speak scripture, because that is what is going to minister to you and change you and teach you how to live when we focus on God. The next step is to die to self. Matthew 16, 25 says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." So what does it mean to die to self? We die to our own agendas. We die to our will. We die to everything that we think that we need, and we focus on God's will for us, right? Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us, and we need to seek after that and follow after that. So we set aside, we die to self. We die to all of our fleshly desires that lead to destruction, because they do. And we live for God. How do we do that? We choose Jesus. It's that simple and that difficult. Because if the path is wide that leads to destruction, that means not everybody chooses Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, "Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, 'I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life.'" John chapter 11, 25, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying." Psalm 16, 11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." In Romans 10, verse 9, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the first step to making that decision to get on the narrow way, the path that leads to life, the path that leads to blessings and life abundant. What everything that God has for you comes from making that choice to follow after Jesus. That's the most important thing that you can do. And so I want to make an invitation. I can never presume that everybody that I'm looking at and gathering in the room has made that decision. So if everybody would just bow their heads this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we truly can follow after you and that you've set a path before us that leads to life. And that, God, sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we step off the path. Sometimes we make the mistake of being attracted to the things of the world, and that, God, you have so much more for us, a life abundant, a life that's more than just this day-to-day living, but that is filled with blessings and mercy and love, a love that we cannot even explain, a love that comes from the Father through you. And so, God, this morning, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room, that, God, your Spirit would speak to them this morning, that would confirm in their hearts that they really have never made the decision to follow after you, and they want to take the step to be on the narrow way, to make the right decision. So if there is anyone in this space that has never made the choice to follow after God for yourself, and you want to make a choice to be on that narrow road today, to learn what it means to follow after God, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I give you thanks, oh God, that truly we are those that are endeavoring to be on that narrow way. And God, I know that there's so many lives here represented that can look back to a defining moment in their life and they say, this is where my life changed. This is where my mind began to be renewed. This is where the woundedness of my past began to change and I began to be a new creature. That your word tells us, oh God, that anyone that's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so we rejoice, God, for those moments that we've made a choice to follow after you. God, I pray, Lord, that we continue to strive and endeavor to follow this narrow way. I pray, Lord, that any kind of distraction and any kind of temptation be removed, oh God. That those that are here would continue to see the light and the path that you've laid out for them, that they would follow after you on this narrow way. I pray against any kind of distraction, any kind of temptation. We truly are seeking to follow after you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide us. When we're about to step off to the right or to the left, I pray that the Holy Spirit within us would guide us and steer us ever so gently. And Lord, when we are stepping out in rebellion, I pray, Lord, that it is not a gentle guidance, but that conviction of the Holy Spirit would come and put us right back on the path where we belong. And that would be so clear and so evident, God, and that we would give you thanks, O Lord, for that correction, because you do correct us as a father corrects his children, that you correct us and discipline us, God, and we thank you for that, because we want to be on the narrow path. I thank you, Lord, that you have set before us a wonderful journey. And as we're on this journey, God, we get to rejoice and we get to celebrate with whatever the body looks like around us at the time, the body of Christ. And at this point in time, we're able to walk through the journey as members and attenders at Sanctuary and friends, and that we get to share the journey together. The good parts and the difficult parts. And that we don't walk the path alone, even though it's narrow, even though there's not a lot of people, but we're not alone. First, oh God, that you have sent us your Holy Spirit as our advocate and our guide, but that we have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that come along the journey with us. And so as we stumble, they're there to pick us up. When we're about to get off the path, they're there to remind us and hold us back and encourage us to stay on the path that you've laid before us. And thank you so much, oh God, for your body, for the church. Thank you, Lord, that we truly do need you this morning. We need you to strengthen us and be our guide. So I'd like to close, as Ricky's up there, can we sing I Need You? And if you'd like to stand and sing, and let's just close in song this morning and profess our need for the Lord, because I don't know about you, but I need him. Each and every day, you know, I don't walk by my own strength, but by the strength that God gives me. It's not always easy to stay on the narrow way. But through his strength and through his guidance, we can do all things, amen, through Christ who strengthens us. So let us sing. Hallelujah. Thank you, O God, that we are clothed in your righteousness, God. Thank you, Lord, that you truly are our guide. And we thank you, O Lord, that we can call upon the name of Jesus. Sometimes that's all our prayers can be. It's just a simple word. Jesus. Oh, and he answers. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love come down. Be with us this week, O God, as we go forth, endeavoring to walk the narrow way. Strengthen us, be with us, and be our guide. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Be blessed, church.